This is Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly.
Good evening. Welcome to Empower the Spirit. My name is Doug Kelly. It's Sunday, June 19th, 2011. I'm so glad you could join me tonight. Empower the Spirit is a weekly broadcast of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. It's part of our regular church services. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit. This program addresses metaphysical topics with a focus on a variety of practical life skills, which we'll be talking about tonight. It's a program about enhancing the human condition, both spiritually and physically. Tonight, the topic that I'm going to be speaking on is building faith in the light of the world. Following my presentation, there will be a kind of a new thing, a guided meditation session. It's not guided by me. It's a 15-minute long guided meditation I think you'll enjoy. It's called, I've called it, Exploring the Deep Frontiers of Your Limitless Self. It's a great opportunity to sit back and relax and have some positive stuff infused. Of course, following this program, at the top of the hour, Dr. Vicki's Psychic Perspective with Reverend Dr. Vicki Hunter. She will be taking your calls and offering psychic and spiritual insights for your life. So please be sure to stay tuned for that coming up in about an hour, 10 p.m. Eastern. Let's talk about building faith in the light of the world. If you have any Christian background, you probably recall that Jesus described himself as the light of the world in John 8:12. There are other religions too that have their own prophets that they look to as the light of the world. And so I got thinking about this topic, the light of the world, and what it means in a metaphysical way, and what it means to me, what it means to MCHS Church. So the big question is, who is the true light of the world? What I'm going to do for the next few minutes is I want to offer an alternative. Obviously, living in the United States and many other countries around the world, a huge Christian population. Of course, there are other religions too. My background is in Christianity, so I'm the most familiar with that. I'm not familiar with some of the others a lot, certainly not as much as Christianity. But I want to talk about a few common Christian beliefs and compare them with beliefs of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Now, my objective here is not to just complain and gripe and criticize. It's not my objective. What I want to do is offer a better alternative, and that's what I'm going to be talking about, and it has to do with this light of the world and other things. One of my biggest issues with especially Christian religions is that I believe they're steering people the wrong way. All you have to do is look at the recent news when that one minister, Harold Camping, predicting the end of the world yet again. Nothing too much new since May 21st when, you know, the rapture was supposed to happen. And of course, he was wrong about that date. And now the date is set for October 21st when apparently there will be a rapture and all of us are going to be destroyed because, you know, we're not going to be raptured. In fact, most people won't, according to him. But I never ceases to amaze me how many of these groups are out there that not only have the doomsday predictions, but also steer people the wrong way, the whole rapture thing. You know, one of my biggest criticisms, and I will use the word for Christianity, is, and frankly most religions, is that they devalue and denigrate the individual. Now, I'm not saying that we all should walk around with, you know, huge egos and be narcissists. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that it's not good, it's not healthy to devalue and denigrate the individual. Another thing that I don't care for anymore is the fact that most religions will tell you that you need something outside of yourself. Now, not all religions tell you that, but most of them do. And the ones that don't tell you that, they still have other caveats. The Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science will not tell you that you need anything outside of yourself. One of the common things in Christianity is to fear God. And people say, well, you're not supposed to be afraid of God. You're supposed to have this fear of displeasing God. But that's still unhealthy. It's still looking at something outside of yourself. The fact is, there is no God. We are all God. We look to the divine nature of all things that there are all living things. And if you look in nature, you see that divinity, you see that beauty. And so what I want to do is talk about a number of things here that will help you to have an alternative. Chances are, if you're listening to this broadcast, you're already on the same page as me, but maybe not everybody will. And I also want to give some basis for believing in these things, such as you don't need something outside of yourself. Now, before I get any further, I would like to tell you that if you do have any questions, I would be happy to take them in the chat room if you're listening to this live broadcast. I'll take them toward the end of my presentation. I appreciate those of you joining us for the live broadcast, and I appreciate those who are listening to the archive. So let's talk about this whole don't need anything outside of yourself and all the things I've already mentioned. The first one I want to get into, and I will tell you who the true light of the world is in just a moment. The first thing I want to get into is that a healthy belief system should not denigrate or devalue the individual. It just leads to so much, like poor self-esteem. We'll talk about that. Let me ask you a question. Are you perfect? Most people, when they hear that question, will say, of course not. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Well, let's talk about perfection. Those of you who know me know I've talked about this a lot because it's such a powerful point. Consider this. When we are born, we are programmed, conditioned, and sometimes even brainwashed to strive for what? Perfection. On the other hand, there's something we know we can never attain as human beings. What is it? Perfection. Do you see what we're doing? We are striving for something that is unattainable for us. We are setting ourselves up to fail. Now, honestly, how much logical sense does that make? It makes no sense whatsoever. You know, that old, tired-out concept of perfection is a fantasy. It's not real. It's an ancient disabling belief system designed to control and manipulate through guilt and shame. It's a control tactic. It restrains us from having a healthy, realistic, and positive self-view. And if we don't have a positive, healthy view of ourselves, we're not going to have it of others. You know, that old, tired concept of perfection compels us subtly, inexorably, toward inner unhappiness. Why? Well, because you're never quite good enough, are you? You know, there's always some reason to feel bad about yourself. You know, this is a debilitating concept. Perfection, that the old fantasy perfection, is a debilitating concept. It's been drilled into us, most of us that is, since birth, and it absolutely makes no sense. Stop buying into it. Let me tell you about perfect people. Perfect people strive to be better tomorrow than they were yesterday. Perfect people do not think they are any better than anyone else, but they are also no worse. Perfect people are a perfect work in progress. Perfect people are perfectly themselves, and they're getting better every day. So I'll ask you the question again. Are you perfect? The answer is yes. And every so often I come across a person who's ahead of me on this and who has figured this out. And when I ask them, are you perfect? I don't get a yes. I get a hell yes, duh. Of course, what are you talking about? And again, I'm not talking about narcissism. I'm not talking about having, you know, being an egotist, I should say. Now, I've asked this question so many times in my seminars and over the past years. And every now and then I get somebody who's obviously a Christian, and they will tell me, no, I'm not perfect. There is no one who is perfect except our Heavenly Father. And you know what? Even from a Christian perspective, this makes no sense. And I'll tell you why. The Bible states that man was made in God's image, right? And did Jesus not say on the Sermon on the Mount, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect? This is taken from the New American Standard Bible. It's Matthew 5:48. So my question is, how can you be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect if perfection is unattainable? That makes no sense. Why would a loving God set you up to fail? But wait, you say, we understand this to mean that we won't be perfect until, you know, we go die and go to heaven and we're with God. Then we'll be perfect. But, you know, Jesus said, you must be, not you will be. It's obvious that a loving God would not require something from a person that they could not attain. Therefore, perfection must be understood in a new way. And that's the way I'm talking about. Every single one of us is perfect. Every single one of us has God within. Every one of us is divine. So next time somebody asks you, are you perfect? You don't say something like a conditional statement like, well, I'm perfect at being myself. That's a conditional statement. You say, yes, I am perfect. Now, other people have objected and said, but I make mistakes. You know, perfect people don't make mistakes. Well, is that true? Well, let's consider it. If you look at a mistake, if you look at the human being, mistakes are an inherent part of humanity. It is inherent to our nature. You cannot remove the mistakes from the human being, otherwise you wouldn't have a human being. The important point here is not to take ourselves too seriously here. Do you kick yourselves ruthlessly for making a mistake? Think about it this way. If you do, you are denying your human nature. You are denying your humanness. Don't deny your humanness. Mistakes are an inherent part of the human makeup. And when we kick ourselves ruthlessly for making mistakes, we're denying our humanity. Well, don't do that. Embrace it. You know, understand who you are. Understand that people are people. You simply cannot remove making mistakes from the human being. Therefore, make the mistakes work for you. So what do you do when you make a mistake? Well, handle it in a healthy manner. Number one, accept responsibility. Don't try to pass the buck. Don't try to put the blame somewhere else. Accept responsibility for your own actions. Number two, learn the lesson. Learn the lesson. You might be aware of a lesson without having learned it. Think about how many times we say, I really should do this, but we don't. Or I shouldn't do this, but we do. We are aware of the lesson, but we haven't learned it. Something interesting happens when we learn a lesson. We change. Therefore, learn the lesson. Number three, make amends if necessary. And number four, move forward guilt-free. Guilt-free. I'll talk about that more in a minute, too. When you make a mistake, you are given something that you cannot purchase at any price whatsoever. That something is experience. Mistakes are how we all learn in life. We all know that. Embrace your mistakes. Be a real live human being. Don't take yourself too seriously. So, how do we incorporate this into the whole perfection thing? One of the big things with religion is, you know, they will tell you point blank, you are a sinner. And, you know, that word's not even in my vocabulary anymore. I don't sin. You don't sin. I'm a real live human being. I make mistakes, yes. But I try to learn from those and not repeat them. The same for you. You're not a sinner. That very word denigrates and devalues the individual, making them feel not good enough. Get rid of that stupid word out of your vocabulary. It's garbage. So the point here is you are perfect. You are not a sinner. And these two things being true, who do you think the light of the world is? The answer is it's you. You are the light of the world. You are the light of your world. We're all the light of the world, folks. And there's nothing wrong with that. We need to support each other. We need to build ourselves up. We need to build other people up, too. Let's talk about seven different ways that you can build yourself up and not succumb to these ridiculous concepts anymore. The first one is lose the guilt and shame. I just mentioned that. My father, who passed away back in 2002, once wrote, "We ought not live in the shadow of our worst moments. We ought not live in the shadow of our worst moments." How about you? Are you living your life in the shadow of your worst moments? This is called guilt, and in some cases, shame. Guilt is when you feel bad about something you did. Shame is when you feel bad about yourself. Most of us received the proverbial guilt bag as children, and we continue to stuff it with the woulda, coulda, shouldas, the what-ifs, the if-onlys, the might-have-beens. You know how it works. You screw up, you make a mistake, then you incriminate, convict, and sentence yourself to a terrible mental and emotional anguish or prison for your, quote, crime. Then you deliberately and painstakingly add this crime to your guilt bag, and you carry it around with you over your shoulder in an almost distorted sense of arrogance or self-focus that only validates your low sense of self-worth. Furthermore, you believe that your guilt bag is invisible to others, but I'm here to tell you it's not. People can see it. You can see theirs. It manifests, this guilt manifests in a variety of ways. It can manifest in as weight problems, either over or underweight. It can manifest as extreme submissiveness or extreme aggression. It can manifest as in giving up on life or alcoholism or drug abuse, unrealized potential, relationship problems, even physical ailments, asthma, psoriasis, skin rashes, things like that, aches and pains, and it just the list just goes on. The guilt bag, your guilt bag, holds you back. It burdens you down. It deprives you of reaching your full potential, and it slowly eats away at your soul like a cancer from the inside out. You know, when we feel overly guilty, we essentially are taking personal responsibility to the point of self-denigration, which is way too far. Guilt and shame are pointless, useless, wasted emotions. Never forget that. There is no value in guilt. Period, period, period. There is no value in guilt. You know, when we feel guilty, it's like we're giving safe harbor to those negative, unhealthy feelings. And you know what safe harbor means? It means it's protected. And those feelings, you know, they go swirling around inside of us. They go round and round, and they eat us alive until we have no soul left. Remember, there is no value in guilt, period. Never forget that. There might be some value in regret, but only to the point where we learn the lesson, make amends if necessary, and move forward guilt-free. Routine day-to-day mistakes, they're a way of life. It's who we are. It's part of our makeup. And this includes any mistakes we made as children or make as parents. We need to understand that, by and large, people are doing the best they can with the knowledge, experience, and the ability they have at the moment. You know, awareness is a big issue. People are not always as aware as they should be. We are not always as aware as we should be. When we make a mistake, we need to understand that we can't go back and undo anything. So we might as well stop trying. But a lot of times we don't. We still feel that guilt. We cannot live our lives with one foot in the present and one foot in the past. So you make a mistake, don't harbor any guilt feelings. Let them go. Release them. Move forward guilt-free. Don't live in the shadow of your worst moments, as my father wrote. Instead, why not live in the sunshine of your best moments? So that's one point that we can do to build ourselves up in a healthy way, to build our self-concept up in a healthy way. A second way to build ourselves up and to build our self-esteem up is to focus on yourself, validate yourself. You know, many folks, for their entire lives, their essence has been focused on pleasing other people in one way or another. People pleasers are not generally healthy in self-esteem, for obvious reasons. And the only time they really feel good about themselves is when they're doing something that gains or garners the approval of someone else. People with low self-esteem and what I call them esteem never feel good about themselves unless they're doing what their parents say, their friends say, their religion says, their God says, whatever. They only feel good about them when they're doing what other people think they ought to be doing. And it's a little deeper even. They only feel good about themselves when they believe that they're doing what other people expect of them. That's them esteem. They esteem other people more than they do themselves. That's why I don't even use the term low self-esteem much. I refer to it as them esteem. You either have them esteem or self-esteem. Now, self-esteem, on the other hand, means that you base your self-worth on internal expectations and validation. You feel better about yourself when you're doing what you expect, not what others expect. My definition of self-esteem is a healthy self-respect, a high self-regard, and a high self-worth based on internal expectations and validation. This is in contrast to them esteem, which is based on external expectations and external validation. People with self-esteem understand that what is. They are who they are, and they are striving to be better every day. They are perfect, and they know it. They esteem themselves highly enough to not overly care what other people think. They adopt the old adage, what you think of me is none of my business. They don't put other people into a box. Now, here's an interesting thing that you may not have considered. Is it possible for a person to be very self-confident and yet have low self-esteem, or have them esteem, as I call it? The answer is yes. All you have to do is take a look at some of these celebrities and movie stars. They have the self-confidence it takes to get in front of a camera or on a stage in front of perhaps thousands of people, but some of them have some pretty low self-esteem, and you know they're full of them esteem. So how is it that a person can be self-confident and still not have high self-esteem? It's the same thing. The answer is them esteem. You can be very self-confident, but still have them esteem. A person with self-esteem is confident because they know who they are, and they know why they are who they are. And so just because a person is confident doesn't necessarily mean that they have high self-esteem. Here's a great quote by Mark Twain, speaking of other people and them esteem and all that. He wrote, "Never allow someone to be your priority while allowing yourself to be their option." And the point of the matter is that most people are really looking out for themselves, and you should do that in a healthy way. And so we have to make sure that we are our own best friend and not our own worst enemy. I'm not talking about becoming selfish, conceited, narcissistic, egotistic, and all those things. I'm simply suggesting to have a healthy self-esteem that's based on internal validation and what you expect of yourself, internal expectations. Now, speaking of the ego, this is another point of contention that I have with most other religions. It's, in fact, a lot of metaphysical approaches, metaphologies, will say this. They basically say you got to get rid of the ego. You got to press the ego down. You got to, you know, make it go away or bring it under control. I don't necessarily agree with that. Now, I do agree that an unhealthy ego needs to be made healthy. And some people, you know, obviously have a very, very unhealthy ego in terms of thinking they're better, thinking that they're better than others. That's not good. That's called egotism, narcissism. That's not what I'm talking about. We need to have a healthy ego. And I'm talking about a healthy, not too much of an ego, a healthy ego. It is who we are. We are human beings. And if we go on, which I believe we do, we go on to another chapter when we die. That's fine. I don't know about that chapter yet. Not much. But I know about this chapter. And I know that having a healthy, proper ego is part of the human condition. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. You can still become complete within yourself. And it does involve having a proper, healthy ego. Let's talk about a third thing that you can do to build your self-esteem up and to have a healthier self-concept, and that's not to compare yourself with others. I'm probably not telling you something you don't already know. I'm simply reminding you of these different things. We all seem to have this, especially while growing up. We compare ourselves with other people. Maybe we've been compared to other people by parents or whatever. But this is certainly not a healthy thing to do, because you can't compare apples and oranges, right? And that's essentially what we are. We're all individuals. We all have our own makeup. We all are who we are. We're all unique. You can't really compare one to another. And what's right for one person may not be right for another person. Don't forget, though, that we're all made from the same stuff, that is the star material. We bring our unique and yet diverse gifts to the table. Some people will be better at things than we are, and we will be better at some things than other people are. That's just life. Don't compare yourself. You know, we're all worthy of all the good things in life, no more, no worse than anybody else. Here's a fourth point that I want to talk about. Focus on the positive aspects of yourself. Learn to pat yourself on the back. You need to consciously focus your mind on positive things, reject negative thinking, negative self-talk, and this includes the self-criticism that a lot of folks really give to themselves. Dr. Nathaniel Brandon, he was a pioneer in the field of self-esteem, wrote, "Of all the judgments we pass in life, none is more important than the judgment we pass on ourselves." If you're going to judge yourself, make sure that judgment is fair and just. Now, here's an idea I'll share with you about controlling your thoughts, controlling your self-talk. And I call it the thought bank. Here's how it works. For every negative thing you say or think about yourself, say two things that are positive. And think of this as the first national thought bank of blank. You insert your name there. Each time you say something bad about yourself or criticize yourself, you basically have withdrawn one, quote, self-esteem credit, unquote, from your bank account. You got to now deposit two more credits to compensate. So you say something negative about yourself, it's like you're making a withdrawal from the thought bank, from the self-esteem bank, rather. Then you got to replace it with a couple of positive statements. When you notice yourself saying something negative, just say something like stop, cancel, and then replace it with a positive statement so that you can keep that balance ahead. Make sure that you have a positive balance in your self-esteem account at your thought bank. It may sound silly, but it's based on sound psychology. Why not make your first deposit to your thought bank right now by saying something positive about yourself? What do you like best about yourself? What first came into your mind when I asked that? Well, say it. Say it out loud. Make that deposit. One other related thing that I want to share with you is an interesting technique that I kind of stumbled on a few years back. It's an energy technique, and it's really cool because, well, the way it works, let me tell you this. The way it works is that there's this energy center on your body. It's on your shoulder. And whenever you apply pressure to it, it just releases that positive, good, upbuilding, nurturing energy that makes you feel good all over. And it's really cool to try. And so let me take you through. It's very simple to do. And let me just take you through it. Now, if you're sitting, that's fine. If you're standing, it would be a little better, but that's fine. Sitting or standing, of course, if you're driving, don't do it. But here's how it works. Now, this energy center is always on the opposite side of your dominant hand. So if you are right-handed, it's going to be on your left shoulder. If you're left-handed, it's going to be on your right shoulder. So what I want you to do is I want you to just extend your arm, your dominant hand, arm straight out in front of you. Just extend it there. I want you to bend your arm at the elbow, and I want you to place your dominant hand on the opposite shoulder. Now, this energy center requires some pressure to release the energy, the good energy. So what I want you to do is I want you to raise your hand up a little above your shoulder, and I want you to just drop it. Now go up and down and up and down and just press that energy center. Now, hopefully you have a smile on your face. Do you see what you're doing? You're patting yourself on the back. Tell me that's not a great thing to do to release good energy. I call it the praise and appreciation technique, or PAT for short. Pat yourself on the back. It's just fine to do that. There's nothing wrong with it. Here's a fifth point that I want to share with you. It's Find something to be proud of yourself for each day. You know, just be proud of yourself for a change. Where is it written that you cannot be proud of yourself? You know, it's not written anywhere except in perhaps in our mind, and we think, where did that come from? Well, it came from a lifetime of conditioning, social conditioning, religious conditioning. It's okay to be proud of yourself. It doesn't make you a narcissist to be proud of yourself. You know, find something to be proud of yourself for each day. Now, if you're a parent, and especially if you're a parent with small children where you read them bedtime stories, that sort of thing, here is an incredible, incredible suggestion. This is great. Here's what you do. Every night, as you're reading them the bedtime story or whenever you choose, but do it regularly, ask your child, sweetheart, what did you do today that you're proud of yourself for? Now, if you ask your child that every time, every day, what do you think you're going to be building in your child, in your children? Yes, healthy self-esteem. And parents, there is no greater gift that you can give to your children than to help them to grow up to be well-adjusted adults with a healthy self-esteem. And this is one way to do it. So why not start tonight or tomorrow, your next opportunity? Here's a sixth point for building up your self-concept. Stand tall and hold your head high. I mean, literally, physically, not so much symbolically, although it's part of it. But stand tall, sit tall, hold your head high. Right now, just assess your body position. How are you sitting? You know, are you slumped at all? Are you sitting tall? Are you standing tall, wherever you're at? You know, when you get a chance, go look in the mirror and look at how you're standing. And then intentionally stand tall. You know, look in the mirror, marvel at your beauty, the beauty of your humanness, the beauty of your soul, just the beauty of yourself as a human being. Understanding that you are unique. There's nobody else like you. Nobody on this planet of 7 billion. There's nobody like you. You are unique. And as you stand there and look at your reflection in the mirror, standing tall, be proud, pat yourself on the back. You know, so often, I mean, I use this illustration. You know, you're walking along in the house or outside, and there's this little tiny spider that comes along. Are you afraid of it? Now, some people, yes, I'm afraid of spiders. But you know what? It's just a tiny little thing, like an ant, maybe. Are you really afraid of it? Probably not. I mean, all you have to do is step on it, and it's gone. There's just no comparison. So my question is, can you be 30 feet tall in your mind? You know, can you raise yourself tall, erect? Be 30 feet tall. Stand tall. Hold your head high. And know that you are worthy of the best that life has to offer. Your body language and posture are simply a manifestation of who you are within. If you want your outside world to change, you got to change your inside world first. So start there. That's what we've been talking about this whole time. But let it come on out. Stand tall. Sit tall. Be tall. Here's a seventh and the final suggestion I'm going to share with you on improving your self-esteem, raising your self-concept, and it's simply this: smile and remember common courtesies. We all know the value of a smile, don't we? Even if you don't think you have anything to smile about, just smile. You know, there's quite a few people who do this by themselves. It's one of the, I just talked with somebody the other day, it's one of the first things they do when they wake up in the morning. They intentionally, deliberately smile because it helps them to set the tone for the day, especially waking up. When you smile at other people, and I'm talking about appropriate smiles here, not walking around with this huge grin on your face looking strange, that's not what I mean. But when you give somebody an appropriate smile, you give them a precious gift that you just can't put a price on it. You lighten their load just a little bit, and you encourage them, even if it's just a little bit. But you receive the greater gift because you're lightening your load as well, and you're boosting your own spirit and self-esteem in the process. You know, just in the last week or so, there have been a couple of instances, you know, when I'm out and about. One, I went to the convenience store and walked in, and there was a fellow standing near the cash register. I think he was waiting for one of the employees. And he, you know, our eyes met, and he automatically just gave me a nice smile. That's it. Nothing, you know, wasn't the usual guy nod. It was a smile. And, you know, that told me volumes about this fellow. He got it. Just yesterday, my wife Tracy and I were out having a bite to eat, just eating there, and there were, other people at the restaurant. And an attractive young gal comes walking by our table. Just she'd gone to the salad bar or the restroom or something. She's walking back to her table, and I just glanced up and looked, and our eyes met, and she gave me a quick little smile. And she couldn't have been 20 years old, and I thought, wow, she gets it. She understands. She's not afraid. She's not thinking, wow, you know, do I look okay? Am I dressed okay? And all those other things that go through people's mind. Smile at people. And don't forget the common courtesies. You know, it's funny. I look at parents all over the place. The first things they teach their children are what? Say thank you, you're welcome, those kinds of things. And yet somehow we forget those when we grow up. Don't forget those. Please, thank you, you're welcome. I know it's might sound insignificant, but it's not, because you probably well know that they're missing from so many people. So, we've been talking about the light of the world. That's you. That's me. That's everybody. We are the light of this world. Within us exists the potential, the ability to do anything we want, to achieve anything we want. That's the thing that sets us apart from the other animals, is the ability to overcome, the ability to stretch, to discover. It's a beautiful thing. We also discovered how you're perfect, if you didn't already know that. You're not a sinner. Just lose that word completely. You have everything that you need within you to find the answers you seek. Doesn't mean you can't take advice or seek advice. It doesn't mean you can't study. Obviously, those are all important things. It means that you are the one who decides. You have everything within you. You do not need anything outside of yourself, and it is unhealthy to look at something outside of yourself, i.e. God. Look to yourself. Seek your own counsel. Be proud of yourself for a change. Find something to be proud of yourself for every day. Celebrate a victory each day. And don't forget to ask that of your children, too, if you have children. I hope that this has built you up. I hope that you feel just a little bit lighter, a little bit taller, a little more of a smile on your face, because you deserve it. You know, I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I realize that all those things that we fret over in life are nothing. They're petty. Most of them. I know that there can be some serious issues in life. I've been through them. But you know what? The thing that really matters most is us, is what we think of ourselves, is validating ourselves, is loving those around us, you know, and being an encouragement to others, building others up too. Not in a codependent way, not that that's my job, I have to build everybody up, not that. But we build people up by smiling, by giving them the good word, by saying things that are encouraging, by celebrating with them in their successes, not being jealous and not taking ourselves too seriously. Most of this stuff that we experience in life is really of no consequence. In fact, it was Plato, and I've quoted him before on the program. And I'll paraphrase it. Plato said that most things in human affairs are unimportant. You know, unimportant. There are some things that are important, though. Our relationships, our evolution, our seeking self-completeness and enlightenment, and doing good, doing no harm, of course. All right. I appreciate you listening to this, and I hope it's helped. What we're going to do next is I'm going to play a a guided meditation for you. I'm going to start out here with just a couple of minutes to let you get your mind switched over. If you need to take a quick pit stop, that's fine too. I'm going to play a short musical piece, about 3 minutes or so. Then come back, and there's about a 15-minute guided meditation, which I found very nice, and so I'm going to play it for you too. So I will see you on the flip side of this song. Okay, and we are back, and as promised, I'm going to do the guided meditation now. Just as a quick reminder, don't forget, coming up in just a little over 15 minutes is Dr. Vicky's Psychic Perspective. She's going to be talking about psychic and spiritual advice. She will take your calls, and you can get some advice, always some good information from Dr. Vicky. Now, take a deep breath in through your nose, hold it to the mental count of three, and release it slowly through your mouth. Just relax. You know, it feels so good to just relax. Just breathe. Take another deep breath. And as you listen to this guided meditation, ponder not only the words that are spoken, but also some of the things that perhaps you found interesting in the earlier presentation. Here we go.
This program is hypnotic in nature and is never to be experienced in a moving vehicle or other times when you need to maintain awakened consciousness. Earth, formed from the explosion of an ancient star. We are all children of the stars, spacemen and spacewomen, drawn by our inborn, curious nature to simply seeking new discoveries. And you might even have fantasized about exploring once again these starry night skies. For within you lies the most awesome resource in the universe. The culmination of explosive advances in the evolution of mankind. Your own human mind. Imagine the possibilities as you embark within your far-reaching adventure. Your time to sit or lie back, more comfortably relaxed. For if you once believed you were utilizing the full extent of your mind's potential, you can especially enjoy venturing inside your wide open frontier of capabilities. You may not yet see. Yes, you can be pleasantly surprised to discover your endless capacity to discern new meaning when venturing through new fields of learning. Even though your life force inside only desires to be summoned forth so you can naturally savor your freedom, effortless freedom, to explore life's solutions, increase the sum of your comprehension. Yes, you can enjoy not having to do anything. You don't even have to listen to me. Because your inner, wiser self is exploring for you the deepest spheres of your learning frontier. For you know when you're drifting within, inwardly, your deeper self conceives mind-expanding dreams. In those dreams, you can venture wherever you desire, even explore the furthest reaches of the universe. As you traverse these dark, starry skies, delightfully apprising through your window view, a swiftly shifting panorama of the luminous night, the bright multitude of lights unfolding, holding in store for you a child of the stars, far-reaching new adventure. So as you place your hands on the controlling wheel, how do you feel? Solely in control, exploring freely at last, riding freely inside your own soaring spacecraft. For you need only lie back, backwardly, against the comforting support of your reclining seat, seemingly contoured to your very form. Surely, as your spacecraft soars with speed, as you're naturally breathing more deeply, how soon before your body's completely unwinding, so finding you're more deeply eased, even as your craft soars with lightning speed, with each breath deep, perceive your life force streaming warmly through and enlightening your true nature to adventure forth and learn. Discern the solution to each newly posed question. Though in those school days long ago, your enthusiasm to explore life for insightful, meaningful comprehension might have required freer expression, for your desire to pose those questions best interesting you, to make your own original associations. Investigate solutions in your own innovative way. Instead, were you spoon-fed answers ready-made? So today, are you more and more discerning this long-ago so-called form of learning is completely unbecoming of one of your stature? For you're a high-born adventurer, a curious most at home in the mysterious, unchartered unknown. Are you beginning to realize who you really are? An enterprising child of the stars. a space traveler, desiring to acquire meaningful new learnings, desiring to reclaim your true nature, to traverse the amazing terrain of the universe. Your craft soaring like a light beam through these starry night skies. So as you breathe in deeply, and now let go in a long sigh of relief. Sense how deeply renewed, thoroughly gratified you are. To open wide the floodgate of your exploratory nature, liberate the child's special pleasure in resuming your lifelong learning adventure. Yes, sense each breath deep, deep, releasing your enlightening life force, streaming reassuringly through you, your renewed zeal to reveal new meaning in each field of life you're to be exploring. And you alone know what these will be, for how soon do you perceive inside that exultant feeling, that accomplished, competent feeling of pride? Each intriguing new discovery seems to bring, yes, once more recapturing the fresh senses and open mind, all the exploratory excitement of the child inside, your nature to comprehend new solutions, easy to find. For as you're soaring with lightning speed, venturing through sparkling, starry heavens, as your body naturally breathes more deeply, your enlightening life force streaming forth freely, you need only visualize each life question, focused luminously in central position in your mind's eye. Then relating, associating from this one question to your newly researched and prior store of information. From this question, generating in all directions, like swiftly shifting light beams, streams of associations, each one in turn a new focal point of origination, directly reflecting these enlightening streams to an ever greater range of related, associated themes. Your thoughts liberated, soaring freely like light beams. Surely, for each posed question, new solutions coming to you, integrated into your own personal comprehension, into your own unique, original interpretation. And with the playfulness of the child inside, are you finding your mind more free each day of some of your prior life assumptions? Those time-worn traditions, those old conventions that may have once narrowed your life's perceptions. For today, how soon before you note, for each question posed, each of your newly enlightened associations is shining forth in original and innovative directions. So you realize totally new relations, new associations. So you're ever making these surprising revelations. And as you sense a new openness, receptiveness to a creative, thoroughly breakthrough life view, intuitive flashes coming to you as fast as light beams, as fast as your craft soaring with lightning speed right through these inviting, starry night skies. For how soon before you apprise a particular star shining more and more bright? And since there, nearby, is a planetary attuned to be discerning within these hallowed halls of universal learning. These elder scholars, imposing robed figures, though with twinkling eyes, warmly ushering you inside, Earth's highly esteemed ambassador, greeted with due honor. We welcome your renewed learning adventure. Surely, since you insightfully seek new solutions, we invite you to discuss with us some of the universe's eternal questions. For you most certainly know, to realize the solution to some question posed, as your body naturally breathes more deeply, your enlightening life force, streaming forth freely, you need only visualize your question focused luminously in central position in your mind's eye, then relating, associating from this one question to your newly researched and prior store of information. From this question, generating in all directions, like swiftly shifting light beams, streams of associations, each one in turn, a new focal point of origination, directly reflecting these enlightening streams to an ever greater range of related, associated themes. Your thoughts liberated, soaring with lightning speed. Surely, for each posed question, new solutions coming to you, integrated into your own personal comprehension, into your own unique, original interpretation. And isn't it a great feeling to rely on your creative life source, your own magical, most prolific resource? For as your body naturally breathes more deeply, you need only ride freely astride your own spacecraft, soaring as fast as your thoughts, soaring with lightning speed, like light beams, trusting these to disclose just the answers you need. And you may be pleasantly surprised to perceive new solutions materialize, often in the most unexpected times. For will these come in the midst of a dream, enlightening you in the silence of the night? Or will solutions come when performing some mundane chore? Surely, in your own time, making your desired breakthroughs, coming through with the solutions to inspire you. Because each new morn, you're born to explore your true nature, a star child, smiling upon life's renewed learning adventure, exploring the furthest depths of the ultimate frontier of mankind, your potentially limitless own human mind.
Now, as you come back to wakeful awareness, understand that you are the light of the world. You are perfect. You have everything within you necessary to discover the answers you seek. You don't need anything outside of you. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget Dr. Vicky's Psychic Perspective coming up in just a few minutes, about 10 minutes. Next week, I'll have another interesting topic. If you like what you're hearing, please join us at Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, mchschurch.org. If you'd like to learn more about metaphysics, please visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. Have a great week, everyone.
This has been Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly. To learn more about the concepts presented in this program, visit mchschurch.com. To take a metaphysics course or to get your metaphysics degree, visit metaphysicsinstitute.com.
Power of the Spirit is a production of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, Incorporated.
This is the MCHS Educational Network. Please visit us at mchschurch.org. This is Dr. Vicky's Psychic Perspective on the MCHS Educational Network. And now, Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Dr. Vicki's Psychic Perspective, here to answer your questions. We're live, educational network, and that's what it is, an educational network for you. I have a couple of questions that have been given to me prior to the show, and I'm going to address that in a minute. But I really do want to encourage anyone. You can phone in. We have Dr. Kelly is with us at the controls, and he'll be happy to put you through. And, of course, we have chat room. And hello to John. I know John was hinting that he might have a question or two, and I hope you call in tonight, John. The number is on your screen, 714-459-3973. The last few shows, we've really covered a lot of ground, a lot of different kinds of topics, and I think tonight is no different, really. I have four in particular that I'm prepared to talk about, which I can go on forever explaining things. And I'm going to keep it as short as I can, though. And I really want to make that space and that time and the encouragement for you to call in. That's what we're here for. When I was listening earlier to Dr. Kelly's show about you being the light of your own life, the light of your own being, that is absolutely my view also, in that we are half spirit, half body, equals one whole mind. So we access a lot of information all of the time. I think it's 2,000 units per second or something really ridiculous. It's an enormity of information we take in at so many levels. Now, I was asked yesterday about what do I see? Like when I, and yes, I see dead people. I more freely in telling my clients that when I have sessions with them. But somebody said, well, what do you see? How do you see it? Well, you know, I can't really answer that because it comes in so many different forms. It's like there's veils between the world to me. This is my interpretation of it. More sensitive, I suppose, to than most people, to a spirit element, to the ethereal elements of life, but also very aware of how important it is to stay grounded, because we're in a body. We have to stay here in a body. We have to understand about being human. We are learning about this human experience. So emotions are a big part of that. Emotions, I believe this, are the integral part that can get us into trouble. It gets in the way of an intuition. It gets us in the way of knowing that light within ourselves. A lot of people may talk about, well, I feel this way, but is that a body emotion connected to all the body experiences? Or is it a feeling from the center of your being, from your heart? Now, the heart being that center, there's a number of reasons we say that, because, you know, in common, let's say, Eastern philosophies, there's seven chakras in the body, three lower, three higher. The three upper, in the upper part of the body, is where more that spirit energy. The lower is that physical energy, the emotions, the root chakra, the creativity. But everything passes through the heart. And this is where the light of yourself lives. The light of the center of your being. So, what I work to do and what I have worked to do in all these years is to stay in that center, to stay understanding my emotions and how my emotions can affect my intuition, because if I'm emotionally attached to an outcome, I can't see straight. And I think that applies to everyone. I don't think that's just a theory. I think that that's fair to state. So I'm aware of what I go through. When I sit with a client, nothing else in the world exists. It can't. They have my undivided attention. You have my undivided attention. My mind is not over there, or somewhere else. It's with you. And that is called being present. It's about being present with you, living in the light of ourselves to the best of our ability. So I do my best to explain to people that within all these layers of life, and this is my take on it, within these layers of life, I can just kind of move between the frequencies, move between the energies. So when you ask me a question, I tune into you. There's a universe of information. But it's whatever in that moment, being as true as I can be, living from my center in the light of myself, whatever comes to me immediately, I trust, belongs to you. That is, I am giving of myself in service to you. But I'm just the vehicle, because honest, I really believe this. Unto myself, I know nothing. It's being the conduit, being tapped into and open to that. You can call it the Akashic Record, if you will. I just like to call it the universe. It makes my life simple. So whatever that universe is, it's just being available to it. But that doesn't mean I'm not growing and changing and learning just like every other human being, because I certainly am. We all have our path. The longer we're on the planet, the more time we get to know ourselves, as long as we are aware of that, awake to it. So that's a bit of a process that I do like to share with people if I get the opportunity, and I'm glad to have that opportunity to share that with you today. So again, if you have any questions, feel free. I've even asked Dr. Kelly if he'd like to join in the show today. It'd be fun if he has a question that he might have or something that he might like to throw in here while we're talking.
I always have questions.
Hello, Dr. Kelly. Glad you could join us, because this is exciting. It feels good when you have your show talking about the light of yourself and going through such a meditation. It really does help, I believe, to center. Unfortunately, I do tend to space case travel a little bit too much, but I've got to get grounded, get back down here. But I don't think there's anything more important to talk about than living in the light of yourself.
And I agree.
And it doesn't have to be in a language that would give us, some people have, you know, we have triggers, like if we talk about the divine light or the Jesus light or the God light or, you know, praise be to Allah, we might have triggers that kind of upset us, but to me it's all just one light.
Mm-hmm.
It is one light, however the brain is sorting it out.
Well, I agree, but I also think it can go deeper than that with a lot of people, basically what I talked about, because they're looking for something outside of themselves, and that light's within you. It's your soul light. It's your higher self. It's, you know, right. The brightness of that light, of each one's light is, you know, it's infinite.
Yes, I absolutely agree. In my view, I started out also in Christianity. I got kicked out of the church, I'm afraid. I was 14, teaching Sunday school, and I dared to ask this lady, who said Christ looked like that? And, of course, she's trying to usher me. I said, no, wait a minute, Dick. Who painted that picture? Who said he looked like that? Because it makes sense to me. If he lived in that part of the world, then he would have brown skin. Well, right. I wasn't allowed to teach Sunday school anymore. But that's the way my mind has always worked. You see, I want to ask questions. I think why ought to be our favorite question. One of the things about religion, because I have studied many, I wanted to find the thread that would be a bind kind of in all religions. What is that spirit connection? What is that soul connection that brings us all together? So this is what I have said to people, and I'm not meaning to be rude when I say it, but if you are truly looking for the God experience, then you will read about all religions, or you will pursue all philosophical thought, because you're looking for that thread that connects you to yourself. It helps you to remember who you are. But if you stop at one, I'm just going to suggest you just like the people you're hanging out with. Yeah. You know, and you find a place to belong, and everybody's stroking each other and rah-rah, and you feel safe for a minute, and you feel belonging, because that's the thing that human beings love to do. We are social beings. We are a pack animal, if you will. So
and that's why it's important for us and those who are listening and others of like mind to gather together to sharpen each other too.
I totally agree. And that's where I hope that in my work in helping people to awaken to their own intuition, that you can, it's another way to access what you're born with that gets you closer to that light in yourself. That it's that beacon, if you will, to move forward in your life as you're born to be, what you were designed to be. And I got to say, no matter how much you try and fight it, it'll keep taking you right back to the beginning till you get it. And I believe that. We will encounter the same thing time and again, different expression of the same thing, until we finally step into our path. But the intuition, our intuition, that ESP, that spirit, speaks to us, and it wants to be heard. It wants to be awakened. On that line of thought, I was asked a very interesting question not too long ago that I would like to talk about, because we're talking about spirits and souls. Somebody asked me if I believe in walk-ins. And I know, Dr. Kelly, you've heard of walk-ins.
Oh, yeah.
Yes?
Interesting question.
It is an interesting question. I was told, somebody said to me they believed I was a walk-in. And my response to that is, because I understand the context the question is asked in. So I said, we go through shifts and changes, all of us. And when we open our spirit, when we open to a greater knowing of that light within ourselves, we expand our consciousness. We expand our knowing of who we are. It changes us because we're incorporating more spirit. So do I believe in walk-ins? Sure. I believe that there is such a thing, but it is a different kind of discussion, and I think it's such an anomaly. I think it's such a rare experience that I think it gets blown out of proportion. But I think as we grow, we expand consciousness, and we become more of and changed. And that's what we want in evolution. I understand somebody's on the line, Dr. Kelly, so...
Yeah, go ahead.
You have a question?
Welcome to the program. What's your first name?
This is John.
Hey, John.
Oh, hello. Hi, John. Nice to meet
hello,
you.
Hello, how are
your
you?
Voice.
Nice to meet you.
I'm very
as well.
Well. You have a question, John?
Yes, I was... There's been past shows that you've talked about, you know, where we really should be in life, and how, you know, we should, you know, look for our passion of what we're doing.
Yes.
And my question is, you know, could you give me that little bit of insight? Even though I know the answers are there within myself, I do believe that we need that mirror to stand in sometimes.
You know, John, it's like having a best friend. You have a good friend to talk things out with, or you rely on some kind of interaction to be able to have a trigger for a question, an idea. We need that with each other. Depending on your own mind or your own self is not the same as asking for direction or insight. And again, that one is dependent and one is not. Dr. Kelly and I have talked about this a lot in the past, about interdependence, because we are interdependent if we do it healthfully. So you're asking something about yourself, John, and you know, I'm really glad you called in, because I have kind of had a little, you know, teaser with you in the last couple of shows, and I really hoped you'd called in, because I think you're such a bright light. Now, here's something I do want to tell you about yourself, being the name of John. I'm kind of a chronic observer, actually. And one of the things about the name John is that he's a natural, and I say natural, leader of people, provided he has that sense of philosophy or spirituality. And to have the confidence to do that, and I do understand there's a difference between self-certainty and confidence, but you're right now in this process for change, and it's like a switch still needs to kind of get turned on to feel, yes, I am born to do this. And you're just about there. And if I can add one even small bit of encouragement to you, is just keep going exactly the way you are. You've got a whole new life waiting for you. I can't explain. Maybe if I give you a, let's say a metaphor, it's like a book. You're closing one book of your life and opening another. Or you're closing that chapter and opening another chapter. But in this one, it's more of who you really are. I get this feeling with you that there has been cause for you to feel somewhat inferior, and then that's caused some frustration with you. But you were able to close the door. You were able to say, no, I'm going to do it my way, and good for you. And that says to me that you are following your spirit. So the name John all by itself, a natural born leader of people, you just have to find that intact spirituality, and you have it. So you're on your way. You just now need all the other little pieces of the puzzle now to fall into place. And you know the other thing I got to tell you, I see a big heart over your head, John. So when I see a heart over someone's head, or you know, in my mind's eye, or over your name in this case, it's love is coming into your life, or your heart is opening in matters of love and relationship. So I don't mean to sound kind of hokey or like a fortune teller. Well, maybe I do.
Oh,
I don't know.
Well, I've, you know.
It's like your heart is opening more. Sorry?
Say that again. I've talked with psychics before, so.
Yeah?
Yeah, you're not sounding hokey or like a fortune teller. I mean, you're
okay.
Not telling me how rich I'm going to be in the future.
No, well, that,
could
that's
you tell
good
me
end.
That? I'd like to know that.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. Well, it's. I see this heart, and I think your heart is opening, and I feel your heart pounding, and that's always an indication to me of love expanding in your life and in the partnership way. So I think that that's a turning point for you too coming up, where you're able to open and let go and receive that, so and receive more of it maybe. So I think this is a really important turning point for you, John, and I think you're absolutely on the right track, so I can only be your cheer team, you know, and which I'm happy to do. Is there something else that you wanted to know about, John?
I was just wanting to know, since you are a medium, is there anything that you might be picking up from any of my relatives that they just might want to say to me that they just can't get through my own noggin, but...
You know, as you're... Jeez, John, as you're saying that...
I know that's a little bit more complex to do, but...
Yeah, but as you're saying that, I get a picture in my head. Have you noticed things moving in your house lately?
Yeah.
Like, have you noticed things being arranged around? Sorry?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you're not alone. I think that's great. I'm seeing a couple of pictures that have... little props in the back that are kind of being moved around. Does that make sense to you? Do you have a couple of pictures like that?
Yeah.
But the one I'm seeing in particular...
Oh, wow, that's amazing. It was just last week that I took them down, so...
Ah.
Just little bitty, just little pictures that I keep around, you know, just for a little bit of assertion that, you know, they're still here with me, so...
Well, that's the first thing that pops into my mind of these things. So I think that in their own way to have a relationship with you, that they're letting you know that they're around. So I don't know if there's any, I'm not getting a really profound message to you or anything, just that their presence is there. I think there's always a presence around us, but it was this things being moved in that particular picture. So I'm glad you could associate with that. So,
that's amazing.
Well,
it always amazes me when something like that happens, and I just get amusing in a way, but not in like funny haha way, but
That's all right. I've been laughed at before.
I'm in awe.
I think that, you know, I appreciate the acknowledgement, but I think it's be in awe of yourself, too, because you had the courage to phone, you had the courage to participate, and you're awake, just maybe differently than I am, but you are awake, and you're awakening more all the time. So this might just give you a bit of encouragement or that bit of reassurance, perhaps. And, you know, it wasn't always easy for me because I didn't have a lot of people to talk to. Like in my day, it was way less common when I was young. But now I'm really glad that we can talk about it. We have this show, and I think that's so exciting. You know, we can do that for each other now. So give yourself a little credit. You know, you got to give yourself credit, John. You're participating.
That's true.
And
that's right. I need to give myself a pat on the back for sure.
Hey, that was a great exercise, wasn't it? That was a great one.
I have a message coming through for John.
All right.
This is coming through from His Holiness, the Doug. And he wants you to know that the Doug sees all things, except for those things which he does not see. The Doug is everywhere, except for those places which he is not. Doug knows all things, except for those things which he does not know. And the message that is coming through for you, John, in all seriousness now, is you're doing good. John's a student of mine. And one of the things that I appreciate about John is he has such a great attitude toward learning, towards stretching and growing and improving himself. You know, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, John, you do have a light within you, and you are a light. And it comes across in what you do and how you approach things. You are sincere of heart, true of heart, and you're trying and you are doing. And I commend you, and I just keep up the good work.
You know, if I can add to that, it's very difficult I think sometimes on the best of days, you know, with the media, the world, it feels stressed, and it's very hard to keep it up. You know, it's the nice guy ends up last, all that, and the woe is me. But it's to keep your chin up, that you're not alone, that we're all here supporting each other, even if it's telepathically sometimes. You have to trust that what you're learning, what you're expanding, what you're growing into, you are connected. I might just say to you, John, maybe start doing some little meditations and tune in to all the other people on the planet who are just like you, just like the rest of us. We're all working on it together, and what a powerful energy that is when we can all connect. So I'm totally with that program.
I think I'll go ahead and put it in my little notebook here of exercises to do.
Good for you.
Thanks for calling, John. Keep up the good work.
You're
I look forward
welcome.
To seeing
Thank
you.
Thank you, Doug.
My pleasure.
Oh, yes.
I look forward to seeing more of you, John. That's great.
Yes, Vicki. You will.
That's good. One of... As we're on this, one of the other questions I get asked very regularly, you know, even when somebody loves their job, when they love their work, they love what they do, and they don't really have anything to complain about in their life, but they feel restless, they feel dissatisfied, and they feel kind of empty. And you see, it's the only time I've ever felt flatlined like that was when I got very frustrated and I sent all my spirits away. And it was just, I felt like I was on overload one day, and I said, hey guys, stop, I can't hear myself think. And everything stopped. And it took about 3 weeks, and I found myself feeling very empty and feeling very, I don't know, the only word I can think of is flatlined. And I went, uh-oh, look what I did. I sent them away. When we're open to our sense of spirit, when we're open to our sense of light, and when we know that there's more to life than a job, we know there's more to life than going to and from and going shopping and tending to the family and tending to your daily life. There's more to it. It fills us up. And we can start to open our minds and you start to pursue things. It does bring some joy. It does. And even that smile that Dr. Kelly talks about often, it's just that smile opens the spirit. And I really believe that. So if just to people, when they say they're dissatisfied, there's two things. Perhaps it is time for a change. Maybe they are needing to educate a little bit more or stimulate themselves. The other is perhaps is to begin to fill their spirit, perhaps begin to explore just new ways of thinking, new ways of feeling, more about, I don't know, ask about, even get curious about UFOs. That starts to stimulate that other side of ourselves that we start to fill up more. And what is the meaning of life? Sometimes, I don't know.
Perfect.
I mean, it's I think that we're here to learn, but we're also here to contribute. You can't learn without giving back. So we put in, it's like we plant the seed in the garden, we water it, and we watch it grow, and it feeds us back. So there is this continual circle of life, this circle of energy that is constant. And there's a value in that. So when we see the value of ourselves, that light within, and we can appreciate the light in all things, starts to fill us up. I can honestly say that I don't feel lonely. I don't, it's not to say there aren't times when I haven't felt alone, but I feel just really embraced. I really feel like there's this energy around me all the time. And I don't pretend to understand everything, but I sure do like trying to figure it out. But I also know the difference between the imaginings of my own mind and learning about truths, you know, and it's seeking those truths, finding the consistencies and the critical thinking. And it can be very exciting to ramble on through your own mind to explore. So I don't know. I'm very careful when people, when we make cut and dried answers, because I don't think that they're that simple. I think that, I mean, I've heard before when somebody says, oh, there's only five real psychics in North America.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I don't even understand where they come up with the notion to say that. I mean, it must mean something to them, but I don't understand it. I also don't understand other blanket statements because I think we have to be very careful about our evolution in our own experience versus what's a theory, because we are explorers here. We're learning about this human experience. You have anything to add in there, Dr. Kelly?
Some good points you've made. I appreciate your expression about smiling opens the spirit. And speaking of the spirit, one of the things that I often do, and I don't know if anybody else does, but if they don't, hey, here's an idea, exploring your mind, is sometimes I'll just lay back and, you know, to the extent possible, create a blank mind, which sometimes for me is pretty easy, and then just let my mind go. And what memories pop up? What, you know, you keep it on a positive note, but what comes to mind from your vast catalog of memories? It's an interesting exercise, and you might, you know, think of things you haven't thought of in a long time, perhaps years, and it all comes back. And that's the thing I love about all of this. Everything that we discuss teaches us something more about ourselves. If we look for that lesson, it teaches us about other people.
Absolutely.
And so the things that you're talking about, I mean, you mentioned you're alone sometimes, but you're not lonely. And I identify with that. And that's what I teach in relationships, that even if you are alone, you don't have to be lonely if you love being with yourself, if you have a mission, if you have a purpose, if you have something that is, you know, that you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. You're never lonely. You're always moving forward.
my thing, in just as you say, there's times when you clear your mind and let things come. Mine is in the morning. I don't think I really wake up in the morning. I think I call it emerging. I emerge out of that wonderful dream time. And I love an hour or two in the morning, just in silence, moving through my morning, sometimes just sitting for an hour, just sitting, and allowing whatever has transpired through the night to filter through. And that's what I call my prime, I love the mornings, that's my prime meditation time, just to let it all come. I know people get up in the morning and they're busy and they're getting ready for work and getting out the day. But if you can even give 10 minutes to just sit with your coffee, you don't have to do the cross-legged. You can just sit and look out the window, watch the sun come up, you know, watch the rain in the morning. Just sit in that quiet. Let the night filter through the day and into your daytime. And that, to me, is an expanding of consciousness, too. Besides, you'd be amazed at what you can hear.
It
that's
is.
When I get my best stuff in the morning.
And I do that, too. And I listen for the sounds that I don't normally hear, consciously
yeah.
hear. And they call it mindfulness meditation. Basically, you sit outside of yourself and you just notice what's happening, what's going on, what sounds are there, what thoughts are floating by, almost like a third person. It's interesting and fun to do.
It's fabulous. It is, too. I know we've kind of gone over our time this evening, but I really appreciate that because I love to talk about this, and I love that we can just carry on in the show because we want to. And I did notice Rebecca says she asked if she can still call in. I just saw her on the chat.
Yep. We still have 20 minutes. I extended the show.
Oh, great.
So we'll keep talking until the top
Rebecca
of the hour.
Mm-hmm. Okay, until Rebecca can call in. One of the other questions that I was asked, we were talking about, you know, nighttime and daytime and being open, is somebody who has the same reoccurring dream. That's a really interesting one, and I know you've done a lot of work in hypnosis and past life regression and such. I really believe that sometimes these past lives do want to be remembered, and that's where I come from. It doesn't matter to me if it can be proved.
Yeah.
It really doesn't.
Don't let that bother you. I'm open to it. So.
Yeah. It doesn't matter to me that we can't verify something. It matters to me that we can satisfy the consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And it matters that we can satisfy the spirit. So very often that's the first place I go. Yes, there can be fears, hopes, or prophecy is what my old mentor would have said that dreams are. But in that prophecy could very well be past life memory. So we have a caller. Go ahead. Is this...
Hi, what's your first name?
Hi, Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
How are you?
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Becca,
you have a question?
Yes, I do. I'd like to know if you can tell me, please, the name of the spirit that's in my house and what he wants me to tell my mother.
Right.
Because I can't figure it out.
Well, Rebecca, that might just take me more than a minute to tune into.
Hey, we can come up with all kinds of names.
I know.
Sure. I mean, I can...
I'm pretty sure it's a relative, but he keeps wanting me to wake my mother up and tell her something.
Vicki's tuning in if you want to, Vicki, and then I'll ask you a couple questions. So he's the spirit, she is waking your mother up, is that correct?
No, he wants me to wake her up.
How do you know that?
I have my Ovilus X, and I used it. And he was pretty adamant about me waking her up in the middle of the night while she was sleeping.
Well, that's just
rude. And then he was concerned about her health.
Specifically
Yeah.
Okay, what were you using? I missed that. You're using a what?
It's a pendulum?
No, an obelisk.
No, it's a... ovulus X, like a spirit box type of thing.
Oh.
It's what it does is there's a database of recorded words that it scrolls through, and the speculation is that the spirit can, you know, highlight the word that they want, and that's the one that you hear, and so they can communicate in that fashion.
You know, right. Rebecca, you know what I think? I think somebody's just messing with you.
You too?
Honestly. I mean, I'm not saying somebody, I'm not saying there's not a spirit there, but I think sometimes the more, like the harder you look, the more you're magnifying the energy.
Right.
So if I can just make a suggestion, when you say he wants you to wake her up, is he waking you up to say that? Like to do
no,
that?
No, I'm already up.
So this is something that just comes to your mind to go check? Or are you playing with stuff like an Ouija board?
Those Ouija boards.
No, it's just a mechanical device. Okay.
It's an electronic device used in paranormal research.
Right.
I think, listen, it's fair then, you want to have a relationship with this entity. And you want to get to know him better, then I think it's fair to talk to him just like you would people. This is what I do.
Well, I do that, but
then
I just can't
tell him. Go ahead.
I don't quite understand what he wants me to tell her. I think she's.
Well,
just
why don't
worried.
You tell him to tell you?
Yeah.
Well, it's easier said than done with an ovulus.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So what I suggest to say to him, if you've got something to say, say it to me. Otherwise, I'm not bothering with you anymore. If you had a friend who is playing mind games like this with you, that's what I think is happening here, would you bother with them?
No, I haven't really, turned that thing on for quite a while. But whenever I do, that's what he wants me to do is tell something to my mother.
Well, can I talk to you about your mother a little bit here? I do get something like blood pressure here.
Yes, exactly.
Blood pressure, but I'm going to tell you, it's kind of odd for me. I'm feeling like the pressure goes low, not high.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
You're exactly right.
So in that low blood pressure, there is often a concern. There's really nothing wrong with low blood pressure, except it takes a minute for the body to catch up to the brain. you got to go slow.
Yes, she's having a lot of problems with AFib and blood pressure being too low. Yeah.
Yeah. So she just has to. If you can give her a couple of exercises, and I know, and I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but tell her to actually have the conscious thought to talk to her body. Say, Mom, tell your body you're going to move now. Tell your body you're going to pick up your arm now. And just that extra electrical signal to the body can help. It just starts to get the heart going again, the blood pressure going again. And I know it's like, just talk to your body. Just say to it, okay, we're going to get up out of the chair now. And she doesn't have to say it out loud and be nuts. I'm just saying,
it's only nuts if you say it out loud.
people get suspicious. Just having that extra pause to recognize that you're sending a thought to the body triggers the heart. It triggers that extra movement.
She does need to get up and get moving.
Yes. That's my feeling. Even if it's small motions to keep circulation going, even to sit up, lift an arm, just, get things moving a little bit. I'm talking electricity in the body. And I think that maybe if you can, ask your guy, later on, is that what you want? Because that's what I'm sensing more, just a little signal from the brain to the body, get it moving.
Yeah, you're exactly on that one. You got that right off the bat. Yep.
Oh, good. Good. I'm just having a little trouble with your spirit because I think he's annoying.
Yeah.
I usually, look, it's not that I haven't encountered that before, but I treat them much like people. Don't bug me.
Yes, I do. Yeah. Yeah. I will tell them to back off and leave me alone, and they will. So, you know.
Yeah, I don't want them to necessarily really go away, you know.
No, they don't go away, but they leave me alone.
Yeah. That's good.
That's good.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with them being here as long as they're not harassing anybody. That's my theory.
And I'll just add, you know, the Theophilus is obviously a very controversial device and speculative, and you know, there's really no proof that it works any better than anything else, you know. So
right.
And I know you know this stuff, Becca. So
mm-hmm.
You know,
I've never used one. So.
Well, there've been a more recent introduction into paranormal research, but the thing that I want to just underscore, and I know you know this, Becca, but I want to state it for the audience and those who listen to it, is that Vicki nailed it. When you're dealing with spirits, you treat them as you would any other human being. And if somebody's trying to do something, wake you up or whatever, you know, that's a boundary violation. And that just doesn't happen. And so the cool thing that you're doing, and I know you've learned this stuff from the CPI course and all, but the thing about it is that there's almost, I'm convinced, there's almost this universal law of boundaries where if you deliberately say no more and you're serious, they have to respect that. So wanted to say that for the benefit of everyone else more than you.
Yeah, and if I can just add, energy and tone is everything. It's kind of like when you tell somebody no versus no.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
one is kind of maybe no.
No, I'm pretty clear on the leave me alone thing. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you are. This is also for the other people who are listening, that there's an energy, and it's like a staccato in music. You know, it's like, no. It's not some long chord, you know. So it's keep us posted on that. I would really be curious to see if, you know, how it develops, and, you know, even send us an email and let us know, because that's curious to me.
It's kind of interesting. Yeah, I just
never
keep an open mind.
Well, thanks for calling in, Becca. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. This is a really interesting one. I happen to have them with me all the time, and I take great comfort from that. But I will say that occasionally there are those who pass through or who kind of cause a little disruption that I just have to say, hey, I need to sleep.
Yeah.
There's no throwing things. Stop making so much noise. I know this is in my reality. Of course, I loved Harry Potter when it came out. I said, finally, somebody gets my reality. I loved a magical world. I loved that dimension, that other interdimension. I've spent and have an extended family. It's been a lot of time in Indian country. And we talk about our little people. And, of course, my Norse mother's, you know, history and my genealogy. And again, there's some Celtic in my blood. It's the little people, you know, and those magical little people. I have them. And, you know, things get moved around and stuff. And I say, oh, it's those little people. And they were around more when my children were smaller and living at home. So what I did, because I think it's just fun, I always make them a little play area. And I say, this is your play area. Give them some toys, you know, a little tea set. And, you know, it just makes it a little more tolerable. And they like that. And they like the little books in their little area. Now, is that just me having fun with myself? Okay, I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm. It makes going crazy so much easier.
Somebody once asked me, well, Vicki, maybe all this is just kind of nuts. And I said, well, I like my nuts better than most people's nuts. So it is that way. Well, this has been a really good. I love it when people actually call in and we can hear the voices and I get to tune in. And and feel those energies. So thanks for calling in, all of you.
And tell people you know about the program if you like it, and maybe they can join us live too on Sunday nights.
Absolutely. Just waiting here now for it. Was Cindy going to call in? I saw her on the chat.
No indication of that, but we can go ahead and end it if you like, or we can chat okay. for another few minutes. Up to you.
I'm quite happy. I really enjoy doing this show, and I know there have been a lot of shows, or at least some, you know, over the years of, you know, phone in the reader and other areas of mysticism and the paranormal. I so appreciate this show, and to be able to do this show, I love it that we can add sensibility and a groundedness and a practicality and the critical thinking to it. Because it's not about me wanting you to see it. I don't want you to see it my way. I want you to see it your way. And anything that we can do to have dialogue to help each other out with that, you know, that's what it's all about. So
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, the venue for this, it's extraordinary, and I'm very grateful. I would just like to take a moment and share with the audience that how we came to connect. Doug,
yeah,
may I do that?
Yeah, please.
I've been in a little transition of my own life, and one morning I literally did wake up with a voice in my head that said, go to the computer. Okay. I barely had my coffee. And it said, write this. And I said, exactly like that? Okay. Metaphysics Institute. So I Googled it. You know, metaphysics. Are you sure? You want me to what? Okay. I, you know, over these years, I just, you know, do as I'm told.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that is how I came to meet Dr. Kelly and be a part of the Institute of Metaphysics, Metaphysical Humanistic Science, and MCHS Church. And I'm very grateful for that. It is about listening to those little voices. And this is where I think that I like to share with other people the extraordinary things that can happen if you listen, even if it sounds nuts. You know, even if it sounds, if it's harmless, and you know you're not going down the dark, scary alley, it's, you know, it's an alley of bright light and you got nothing to lose, you say, yeah, I'll leap empty-handed into the void, as it's written in the runes. So that's truly how I became connected with MCHS Church. It's just
interesting. And you know, it's a good example for others too. You know, we've got a message to get across here. I have a message to get across, and that's why MCH Church, boy, am I stumbling or what? That's why MCHS Church was started in the first place, is because I have a burning message. We all have a message. Some of us need to get it out, and that's what I'm doing, getting it out. And that's why I talked about what I did in the first part of this show about an alternative to what we've so often been taught. There all are alternatives, and we have to seek our own counsel. We have to find our own truth. And what I am teaching at the Metaphysics Institute and through the church is life lessons, things that I have learned, things that I've come across, and they can change and, frankly, have changed numerous lives, numerous hundreds, thousands of lives over the years, and it was high time to do that. So the point that I'm trying to make here is that, there's a lot of great people associated with MCHS Church and the Metaphysics Institute, a lot of very bright and capable students, and some of them are in our chat room tonight, and I'm impressed with these people as individuals. It's they're deep and they're good, and I want to encourage them and all who listen to this to keep searching within you and keep bring that out. You know, show us who you are. Come and be a part of this. You know, I mean, be a part.
And then whatever you're learning, help let it help you be a better human being.
Yeah,
that's all. That's why we have an intuition. That's why we have a yearning inside of us that says there's more. And there's more to make us a better human being. You know, there's plenty of time. When dead is dead and we're gone, we'll have plenty of time to do all that other stuff. Be a good human being.
Yeah, do no harm, do right.
Absolutely. That I love. That's why I just love. I love my voices and my spirit friends, who, you know, we have a good relationship, and they don't ever, you know, lead me astray. They really don't, because I know who I walk with, and that's because I know who I am. So, it's a wonderful thing. Rebecca's just saying her intuition brought her here tonight too, so
that's
good.
And we've got some new faces, and we welcome you and glad you can join us. And, you know, visit mchschurch.org, metaphysicsinstitute.org, and you can learn more not only about us but about metaphysics, or, you know, learn a few extra things. You might already be knowledgeable. Fine. Come on and get your credentials, get your degree.
Absolutely.
You know.
Thank you for joining Dr. Vicki's Psychic Perspective, and we will see you next week at the same time. Have a good week.
Good night.